session number 18683, real one.
Leonard Capel, real one. Where were you born, please?
Birkenhead.
Which year was this?
Just 1929.
Did you grow up and go to school in Birkenhead?
About three streets away from here I was born. I'm brought up around here, went to St Anne's School, Rockbury. Evacuated at the beginning of the war to Welshpool for 3 years.
Was that with the whole school?
Well, most of the school went. I went with another brother and sister, three of us.
How did your evacuation experience go?
A bit rough at first, because when we first got there, there was no school to take us in. And we just used to wander around and go nature walks, and with the fact that it ruined our education. I'm pretty dicey on spelling now myself. Through this, we had no schooling. And we was evacuated at one farm, and I was throwing a pitchfork up into the hayloft. I'd come down, stuck right one thing there, one of me.
In the corner of your eye?
Yeah, just missed it, just fraction. That was when I was about, 9 or 10. And he just took me to the village nurse, he just dressed, put a bit of iodine on it and dressed it, and that was. And one of the lads living with us back here, he had his called Peter Fallon, he used to be a boxer around here, his brother, cut his finger, thumb right off, chopping sticks. The same farm where we were, really rough. And when we come 14, we come home. And I got a job.
Just if I can ask you a bit more about the evacuation. Did these accidents occur because of lack of proper supervision or something?
Oh, well, it must have been, because we had to get up first thing in the morning and pull up pram wheels with two big chairs of milk on it to the road, ready for the milk wagon. And we were on his tots, and some mornings it was freezing. You know, it was really, it was rough, but it was a change, and the food was good. And we lived with their family kind of thing, you know.
So were you put with a farmer's family?
Yeah, they had two girls and two lads, and it was me and my brother, and one other evacuee. My sister lived separate with a couple up the road. She lived with them. She had a real good farm place, like, you know.
But did you have to work on the farm? Were you obliged to work on it?
Well, it was just expected of us, I think.
Did they pay you for it?
Yeah. We used to go rabbiting, snaring rabbits, and they used to give us sixpence. If we caught a rabbit, I'd give it to them. Because they'd eat some of them and sell some of them, so it was just.
How did you know how to snare rabbits?
Oh, lazy right there. Just have a wire on a little stick, and then just leave it over the run, rabbit run, and go back next morning and have a look around. Just most mornings, two or three rabbits. And that was our pocket money.
Sixpence a rabbit?
Yep. How the price of them.
Did any bombs fall in the Welshpool area?
Nope. All around here. We come home in between. Like, it went quiet here, so we come home for a couple of months. And then the bombing started, and one landmine up at the end of these houses. And the people are still buried under there now. And
is this
all around here, in the war. And we got evacuated again.
To the same place?
No, different farms. Gildsfield we went next time, just outside Welshpool. And it was a bit better there, you know.
So when you say a bomb fell, it fell in Well Lane?
Yep, the end of the
Rock Ferry.
No, you walked up from the pub. I seen them houses on stilts. That's where these types of houses, two of these. It was a landmine went through the river, not a sea mine. Come down on a parachute.
Which year was that?
You were 42.
Why are the bodies still there?
So they were all in cellars, so just they went over them, so it's happened quite a lot in the war. Liverpool here.
Were you well treated or badly treated when you were evacuated?
Oh, fair, I'd say. You know, it was just.
Did they know a war was on in that area?
Oh, no, it was very. Well, they had soldiers stationed just. There was a big, like a castle, big mansion house where the army took over just up the road from where we were. And the army was always popping in where we lived to get fruit and different things and got friendly with the farmer and his wife. And we just used to go up the camp. And the farmer we lived with had to dig a big, great big hole in one of his fields. And that's where they dumped their from the toilets. And he made a car to go up to get it every day. That was it. It was primitive, but we learnt a lot.
How did the troops behave themselves?
Oh, smashing. Yeah, very good.
Were they British troops?
Oh, yeah. Training and all that, you know.
Any celebrations you were in at the end of the Second World War?
Yes, I went to London for VJ night. I was 14. Just started work on the railway, and I got a free pass, so I went up and spent a VJ night there, and then come back the next day.
What did you see in London?
Oh, all celebrations around a big square, and everyone drunk. Yeah, I always remember that.
Which square was that?
It's Trafalgar Square, yeah. All the fountains are there, that one.
So how did you come to be in the army yourself?
Called up, 18, National Service, February 1947, was called up.
February?
On my birthday.
How did you feel about being called up?
Oh, not too bad. I'd had five brothers, either in the Navy or the Army, and my dad was in the Army. He was in the First World War, he was in Russia and different places, so a pretty military background.
Where did you do the basic training?
Preston, Fulwood Barracks, Preston.
And what was that like?
A bit rough, you know, not knowing I was getting used to everything and learning how to press clothes and different things. At the end of the 10 weeks, we were all a lot of different regiments and corps, and I was assigned to Irish Fusiliers, Northern Ireland, in Olma, where that bomb was. That was my first station in Ireland, was Olma. I'd done 16 weeks training there. I went to Palestine for 2 years.
Is it the Irish Fusiliers or the Royal Irish Fusiliers?
Royal Irish Fusiliers, yeah.
Which battalion did you go to Palestine with?
Second. Why we come out of Palestine to Egypt, and we amalgamated with the 1st Battalion. They come from Austria.
Which years would you have been in Palestine?
47, up to the end of 48. Then we had the, what's the name, mandate. And we left and went to Egypt, Moasca Barracks.
Where were you stationed in Palestine?
In Tel Aviv, Jaffa. Then there was a small aerodrome just outside Tel Aviv. In the war, it was a fighter plane aerodrome, but it was empty, so we took it over just while we were there. It was just by Lida Airport, not far from Lida.
And what kind of duties did you have in Palestine?
Well, we'd hang around to where the bugle went. Six D's on a bugle, and we'd all have to rush out, jump in Bren gun carriers, and go on patrol in Tel Aviv or Jaffa, or wherever the trouble was. And now and again we'd sleep out in Tel Aviv or Jaffa on the pavements by the police stations, you know, the Palestine police. For days we'd be out there doing that.
You'd have to sleep on the pavement?
Oh, but no, there's nowhere for us. It was nice and warm, it was all right, you know. So we to be there, just nearly 2 years, well, over 18 months.
And they'd blow 6 D's on the bugle?
And we'd know that was an emergency thing. We'd all jump in, bring gun carriers, and whiz them wherever the trouble was.
Did you see much trouble there?
Oh, quite a bit, yeah.
What kind of trouble?
Oh, shooting. The house getting blown up. Army stuff, patrols and that. We were there when them two sergeants were found in the Orange Grove, being murdered. We were patrolling the next Orange Grove at the time they found them. It wasn't bad.
How did the troops react to the sergeants?
Oh, pretty, you know, we were there protecting them and then they were killing us kind of thing.
Did you feel yourself to be in much danger when you're in Palestine?
Well, it was, you didn't know who to do, like, cause you don't know if it was you fighting that year or the Arabs fighting that year. You wouldn't know who to do.
Did you have any narrow escapes?
Yeah, I got blew through a hotel window, cut all my arm.
How did that happen?
So a bomb went off in the street near where we were in the blast, just, but it wasn't much, just.
Were you injured?
Just cut arms, that's all.
Which town was this in?
In Tel Aviv, by St. David's Hotel.
Who'd set the bomb off, do you know?
They blamed Jews, the Stern gang.
Any other incidents you were in?
No, just ordinary brushes, sniper fire. Just general.
Did you like it in Palestine or not?
I liked it everywhere I've been.
Why did you like it in Palestine if it was...
Well, there's no, I don't know if I can say it, not no bullshit. You just roughed it every morning, got it, went to work, went to do your job. There's nobody messing around cleaning brasses and polishing boots. It was just a happy-go-lucky.
So you preferred it to being in armour?
Yep.
Did you get to know any of the civilians in Palestine?
Not, there's a few times we got stuck with the Bren gun carriers in the fields and that. And the Jews had come out with armored cars and tractors and pull us out. And, you know, everyone would be friends at that moment, like, you know. It was not really open hostility. It got worse near the end when lots of these foreign Jews were coming over from Germany and all these other places. They were, well, when we first went there were Jews and Arabs living together in Jaffa, neighbours. But after, before we come out, they were setting houses on fire, each other's houses, you know. They were made into enemies by foreign Jews coming in. You know, Russian Jews and German Jews, and they were all coming in.
Did you have anything to do with stopping immigrants coming in?
A couple of times we were on patrolling ships to stop them. I made them go into Cyprus, into the internment camp.
What happened on those occasions?
Well, just... Well, half the time you couldn't stand up, they were shouting, just...
What did you actually have to do yourself?
Just be there, just protect, you know. The Navy was doing more of the... transferring them onto ships and towing their ship into Cyprus. We wouldn't go in with them, we'd just stand by. Like.
Any other incidents that happened to you in Palestine?
No, just ordinary.
How did you like serving with the Royal Irish Fusiliers?
Very well. Well, I rejoined them after the National Service. I come home for a few months, 1949, and I worked on a railway. I just couldn't settle down, so I went to Liverpool and signed up for 3 years. And then went back to Ireland for training. And then we got sent to Germany, Göttingen. And while we were there, the Korean War started.
Göttingen?
Göttingen.
And were there many Englishmen in the Royal Irish Fusiliers?
Oh, yes, lots. They're mostly Londoners. No, they call up lads. The National Servicemen, most of them were London lads. In the Irish Fusiliers in Palestine and then went to the Ulster Rifles in Korea. There were very lot of Londoners called up.
So were there more English than Irish?
I'd say there was, yeah. Well, the Irish always seem to go in for, they want to be engineers or maintenance now, or, you know, mechanics. They wanted to trade, kind of thing. They didn't. So it was mostly, but we got on to all right, we was getting. Never any trouble between us.
So you went back into the army in 49?
49, yeah.
And was that with the 2nd Battalion?
No, 1st Battalion. We amalgamated in Egypt to the 1st. And when I come home, I went back. The 2nd Battalion was finished then. We went back in the 1st. And they were in Göttingen, Germany.
So you were now a regular for 3 years?
Regular, yeah. Regular soldier, yeah.
What was it like in Germany?
Very good. It was in a little town. In the war, it had been a hospital town for the Germans. It was really, there'd been no damage there, no bombing, no nothing. You know, just, it was very nice. And the barracks was up on the hill, all modern, big German barracks, really nice, you know. I've got photographs of it, and you know, it was a really nice place.
How do you spell this place?
Well, I haven't got a clue.
Where is it near? Which big town?
Hanover. By Hanover. And Göttingen, it's called. But they gave us a good send-off, the Germans and everyone, when we got on the train to go to Palestine, to go to Korea. So they understood where we were going, like.
Were the Germans friendly or
unfriendly? Oh, very friendly.
Did you ever have any conflict with the Germans?
No. While I was there, I broke my thumb boxing. And I had to go to the civilian hospital. Oh, treated like a lord. Really well, put a plaster on your own. Want to know where I'd been, you know, and all.
What weight did you box at?
Light heavy. 13 stone or something.
How tall are you?
6 foot I was then, over just.
How did you feel about being sent to Korea?
Well, it was really a volunteer kind of thing. It just went up on notice board. Men wishing to go to Korea with the Ulster Rifles, you had to, you know, change all your badges and buttons. And we went back to Ireland to do that. And we all got new, brand new uniforms and great coats, tailor-made, everything. And got on a ship at Liverpool.
Why did you have to change your badges and buttons?
Well, we're going out from the Irish Fusiliers into the Ulster Rifles. It was a sister regiment kind of thing, you know, Irish regiment, but we all had to change our badges and buttons, because they wear the black button, the Ulster Rifles. And we wear the ordinary khaki one. When we got to 7 weeks on the ship, going out to Korea, we got to Kobe in Japan, and we after a couple of days we all went on parade and threw all our uniforms onto a blanket, And we never seen them again. They'd all been tailor-made for us and everything.
What happened to them?
we got dressed in jungle greens, like a denim, and went into Korea. We never seen our tailor-made greatcoats or uniforms again. When I come back from Korea, I had a Canadian jacket on, British pants, and a blue hat.
What was the voyage out to Japan like?
I enjoyed it. I got put in charge of the armory, and the ship's armory. I had a good job, just take the guns off, practice shooting, bring guns and rifles, and I'd clean them when they come down. That was my duty for 7 weeks. It was cushy.
And which company and platoon were you in when you got to Korea?
It was in C Company, 8th Platoon.
But before you went to Korea, you spent some time in Japan?
I'd say about 2 or 3 weeks, getting needles and acclimatising and getting all ready. We went over to Busan, where we put on trains, wooden seats. We had hours on them. We went up towards Seoul.
What had been your first impressions of Korea?
Rough. Very basic. Really primitive. Well, it was out like that all the time I was there, but I believe now it's lovely. Like some of the friends I was with last night, they've been back. And they said, it's all modern roads and skyscrapers and everything now.
And so you went on this train journey. Was there any danger on the train journey?
We kept stopping and starting and pulled into little villages. And now and again, it was sniper fire, but never did. Don't know if anyone got this or not, but just carried on until we got to Seoul. We got off then. And then we got taken off to the line and put in different companies and platoons and just settled in. That was right on the Indian River.
Which month was this, do you know?
Okay, I think now. Yeah, I'd have to look at my paybook. It's in that way.
So you went into the line on the Indian River?
Yeah.
What happened then?
Well, we stayed there for 2 or 3 weeks this side of the Indian River. We have patrols and that going out at night. And then the orders come through that we had to move over the Indian River to strengthen the line up. So we went over the Indian River and about 4 miles in. We took up position on a ridge of hills, mountains. And that's where we stayed till we got relieved by the Norfolk Regiment. And I stayed behind with the Norfolk Regiment. I didn't go back to Hong Kong. I stayed with them till I got wounded and flew out to Japan. And I never went back to the Norfolk.
But when you first went there, you were going out on patrol?
Oh, yeah, regular.
What were the patrols like?
Oh, just keep your head down. It was quite, some nights it was quiet, some nights it was. We used to watch the Yanks go out on their patrols, all smoking cigars, and you could see the line of dots going out. Next week, there, a load of fire and shooting, and they'd come running back. I don't know, do you know where we are? That's how good they were. And if you asked for air support, if a Yankee voice that answered over the radio, we'd all run, because nearly every time they'd bomb the hell you were on. If the Australians answered, or New Zealand's, they had their Air Force there. We were all like we used to put silk panels out, pointing to the hill we wanted bombing. And if the Yanks, most of them, they'd bomb them. Not the hill where they should have bombed, but it was terrible.
Did you ever bump the enemy whilst you were out on patrol?
Oh, yeah, we had a couple of skirmishes. A few of the lads got killed.
Can you describe what happened?
Well, one night we went across the paddy fields in front of where we were, and one of our officers heard something, and he fired up this paddy field road. Next minute, everything went shooting, bombing, everything. We lost 2 or 3 lads, I think it was, and a few wounded. And the radio operator with us, a young London lad, he got mentioned in the dispatches that night because he directed the fire onto the river where the chinks were crossing. Might have saved us, we don't know. But he got mentioned in the dispatches. Can't think of his name now. Donaldson, I think. But he got mentioned for his little things.
Did you fire on that occasion?
Oh, gosh, I had a good go. But, just a normal thing after a bit.
What did you think of the Chinese enemy?
Well, he couldn't really tell. Some of them were Chinese. There'd be about three or four Chinese and one big Mongolian with them. They always seemed to have one. Big fellas they were. And you see, the first wave that hit you did have guns, and the more come behind them, they wouldn't have guns. They'd pick them up of the ones that had been killed, and that's how they come. But I'd say they're pretty well trained, and they're better clothed than we were at the time. We never got good clothes till the second winter, when we got the anoraks and the fair underwear proper and the proper boots. With a web in a sole, kept your foot, you know, kept you warm. Like a wire net kind of thing, in a sole. A big parka jacket with the hoods on, with a wire in, you could press together, you know, to keep you warm. It was good gear, that was better than the Yankee gear when we got it, but the first winter we never, just had our own stuff.
So you were in Korea for 2 winters?
I was there from 1951 to 1953. 2 years. Where most fellas was only there one.
Why were you there so long?
Well, I stayed behind with the Norfolks.
When you arrived, did you arrive before or after the famous battle in which the Gloucesters...
Just at the end of it. That's when we went up to the Indian River. It was just finished. And while we were there, the Yanks burial cars come. To dig up all our bodies and, you know, rebury them. That was a task I don't know how they volunteered for that job. The Americans always done that. You know, took the bodies away and buried them properly. It was a rough job, that one.
Did you see them doing that?
Oh, yeah, sitting by them.
What was morale in the battalion like after that battle?
Oh, pretty not bad.
And who were the leaders in your particular platoon and company?
Captain Deacon was one, and the other officer, Taggart, I think one name, Lieutenant Taggart. Can't think of the other sergeants and that, you know, girl. See, when you're there, there was 2 years left in the dugout, and you had a bit of a dugout in the trench, and the others could be, well, 10 yards away or more, and then there's some only... You never got together much. You never got to know names properly. So you got pulled out. And I went on only 5 days Tokyo leave while we were there, rest and recuperation.
What was that like?
Oh, smashing. It was really. To give us about 40, 50 quid. Like, we never drew wages while we were there. So we all had a few bob in hand, like. And we had just 5 days of just partying, really. It was good. It was a good time.